It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
One of the most mispronounced cities in all of America, I think.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
Yeah, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Of course, thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. You do that, I'll send you three brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Chris Shiflets. The Foo Fighters guitarist is back with a new single called Blacktop White Lines. He's got a record on the way. We're going to dig into all of it. He'll tell us about writing with Jaron Johnson, the difference between his work in the Foo Fighters and co-writing with his solo work, and what I'm calling his hot country meets ZZ Top sound of his lead single of Blacktop White Lines. Chris is also going to take us back to his recent performance at the Grand Ole Opry with Sierra Hull. We'll get into his writing process and planning around the upcoming Foo Fighters tour. All that and more, let's do it. Blacktop White Lines, it's Kyle Meredith with Chris Shiflets.
Hey, hey, how are you?
Foo Fighters, of course, people know you from that. They know you from your solo work. You've got a brand new single out called Blacktop White Lines. It's a fun track you got right here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to finally get it out. You know, these things, like putting music out is always, it's a labor of love, but it just... There's such a gap between when you record something and the excitement that you feel, like, you know, you go into the studio and you got this little idea and then it turns into this other thing and you all come out of the studio, you're all stoked. And then it's like 2 years later, you finally get it out to the world, you know? So we set it free.
You know, the internet's made that easier. You can release music anytime. You can do it in a day if you want.
It's a funny thing because, you know, with my solo stuff, you know, it's like almost every time I make a record, we sort of have to go back out and figure out how we're going to put it out, you know, and it's really like that kind of stuff that just takes the longest. So, yeah, I mean, you could upload it and just put it out. But it's like there's a bureaucratic layer, you know, that you kind of it really helps to have in place, you know, like before you start putting stuff out.
The sexy part of rock and roll. That's what we're talking
about
here. Right.
Exactly. Meetings, folks. This is the music industry. We love meetings to discuss meetings.
Well, let's talk about this one because, I had read that the song had been around for a few years. But now that we do hear it, I mean, what do we have? A little song about revenge? Is that's what's going on?
Kind of. I mean, it's like it when we wrote it, you know, I wrote it with Jaron from Cadillac 3 and John from Brothers Osborne. And it was like smack dab in the middle of 2020 when we all found ourselves not on tour and doing things like this over Zoom and writing. And you know, I was here. I was literally like right here where I'm sitting right now in my little studio and we just come over here pretty much every day and kind of woodshed. ideas and make little demos and stuff. And then I started like doing Zoom writes with people, which I'd never done before. You know, I don't know that I'd ever heard of Zoom prior to the lockdown.
None of us did.
Yeah, you know, like, so it like opened up this whole trippy thing. But anyway, so like we're, you know, when we started, when we wrote that song, you know, I didn't have any plans. I knew it was about that time to like make another record, but the whole world was turned upside down. So I wasn't really thinking so much about that, and had just planned to write a song with Jaron. And then he was like, hey, what about John from Brothers? I'm like, fuck yeah, man, bring him. Great. And Jaron came in with that main riff, and then we just all started throwing out silly ideas. And next thing you know, we had our kind of like, you know, who is this person fleeing Alabama and what did she do to Jimmy? And what did Jimmy do to get that done to him? You know, it's a mystery.
You can build a whole opera off of that if you want to.
I know.
There's your concept album right there. It's fun. It's fun though, coming up with those stories, especially when you're just, because that's different, right? I mean, obviously it's different than just, I don't know, as a songwriter, it seems like you do get to experience two completely different worlds, you know, maybe how the Foos write their music. And, you know, I imagine like a lot of rock bands, like myself, when I was used to being, I'm like, they kind of form out of jam sessions in a lot of ways, but this seems a bit more methodical.
Well, it's interesting. Like with Foo Fighters, you know, Dave's the songwriter, and it varies from time to time, but normally he will like demo stuff, like do like an instrumental version of a riff or something. And then we'll learn it and play it together as a band a bit and jam on it. And then it sort of gets banged into shape. Writing with other people, yeah, I had never really done a whole lot of that before, outside of like whatever band I happened to be in, you know. But like sitting down and writing with folks that are your friends, or even just like going in cold with songwriters who have written stuff that you like or what, you know, whatever, like, is a real trip. It's a real different way of doing it. And things take twists and turns that like you would just wouldn't, you know, we all have our sort of like patterns, our well-worn patterns and ideas and stuff that we kind of lean on or just naturally kind of do or spill out of us. And I love that about writing with other people, that kind of gets like, you get away from that, you know, like I know what I sound like. I don't know necessarily what Jaron and John and whoever else I might have to write. Like the ideas that come out of those guys are totally different, you know? And like, I would have never like written this song on my own. You know what I mean? It had to be that group of people on that day, you know, throwing out whatever ideas were sort of popping into our heads. So it's cool, man. I mean, this song is the first song off a whole record that's coming later in the year. We've got some more like focus tracks or whatever coming out throughout the year. But and there's a real like, it's probably like a 50-50 kind of thing in terms of songs that I just wrote, you know, by myself sitting here with like that guitar right there, just kind of noodling around. And then also songs that I wrote with other songwriter friends and stuff. And primarily Jaron. I mean, I worked on even songs that I wrote on my own, I took to Jaron. And since he produced it, like he had a massive impact and really it had a huge, you know, hand in how they ultimately turned out, you know.
What's a cool, you say starting with a riff. I mean, I hear that and I think, what's that, little ZZ Top in there?
Sure. I mean, I heard it like real Eagles sounding, you know what I mean? But like then when we recorded it, it kind of veered into ZZ Top land a little bit, you know?
And we'll be right back right after this.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Shiflett. I guess I'm asking about the record as a whole, but like, does that come up? Like, oh, let's try it. Let's do it something that's in the style of X or the band X, but you know.
Sometimes, but I feel like it's more like the opposite. Like you go in with it, hearing it one way in your head, and And then it really takes a different turn. And maybe there's a discussion, oh, we should, you know, what if we took the groove from like that old song or whatever? And then it kind of turns into something else. Like that album, West Coast Town, I did a few years ago, the title track was so different the way I wrote it. And when I played it for Dave Cobb, who produced that record, he like listened to it and then he said, was like, oh, we should do this one like Buck Owens, because the feel that I originally read it was so not that at all. It was almost more like, I don't know, like dum 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 dum. You know, it was like had like a. I remember when I wrote it, I was like, man, that's the most like modern country thing I ever wrote at that time, you know. And then when we got into the studio, we turned it into the complete opposite, swinging it, you know, like classic country '60s honky tonk kind of feel.
And that, and I'll say, you know, in all honesty, that part makes sense. You know, when we talk about when your press release even talks about the LA to Nashville connection, you know, like my first thought anytime that comes up is like, oh yeah, Bakersfield, you know, you get that. And then when I hear something like this, it's like, oh wow, this is straight up like, this could live on Hot Country right here. Like I get surprised by that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I think that's like the biggest difference with this record. And really this song, Blacktop White Lines, was for me, maybe the most sort of sonically different than stuff I'd done in the past. But yeah, it's definitely, the record as a whole, I think it's got a lot of all my influences, you know? I mean, there's some stuff that's like straight up, like, I don't know, alt rock or some shit, you know, and stuff that kind of leans, not, I wouldn't call it like punk rock, but like the stuff that kind of pulls from more of that vibe. And then, you know, the big through line for kind of everything I've probably ever done is like the Stones and that kind of classic rock kind of thing that kind of runs throughout it all. But then you sort of add in a bit of like, you know, Jaron's like production gloss takes it into some different territory there too, you know, that would, it's funny because like making records like this, like I went out to Nashville for a few different sessions and recorded out there to get the record done. And when I'm in the studio, I'm playing with a bunch of, you know, different, a bunch of folks. I mean, mostly the same folks throughout the whole record. But it's a big room full of people playing. And I got, you know, Charlie Worsham playing guitar. And I got, you know, on some of it was Bukovac playing guitar. Some of it was this dude, Nate Ketterly, and so I'm not really thinking about what everybody else is doing. I'm not thinking about like the kick drum pattern or what the bass player is doing necessarily. And there's a thing that happens where then I have to go learn it with a whole different group of musicians, like my band back here. And I got to sit down, I got to crack open the recordings, and I got to listen to what everybody's doing and try to figure out how we did it. You know what I mean? Because I know what I did, but I don't know what anybody else did. You know. And it's a funny thing. It's like, I always laugh about that. Like you kind of have to go like learn your own record and see what's going on. Cause you know, I'm not really in there like micromanaging everybody. And then there's that thing of like having to kind of figure out like, well, I got to take a little bit of what Charlie did, and I got to take a little bit of what Nate did, and then I got to take what I did, and I got to figure out some way to sort of combo track that all together to go play it live, you know?
And especially as they say, when you're working with, you know, the phrase Nashville cats, I mean, that's,
yeah.
It's incredible. I go down there every now and then, not for songwriting sessions, but I go down there actually quite often. But just talking to people who are in them sessions, and it is just like a complete trust that you can give just about anyone that you'd be working with. Like, I'm going to do my thing and you're going to do your thing and it's going to be great.
Yeah. And your thing's going to be high level.
Right.
It's really great, man. I love that with, like, you know, with this record, you know, I got some great guitar players on this stuff, you know, and they're playing just cool guitar stuff that I wouldn't have come up with, you know. It just adds so much to it.
I saw you were at the Opry with Michael Cleveland, not a guitar player, fiddler, but we do a lot with him up here in Louisville, and man, that guy is incredible.
Yeah, that was really fun because I had recorded that song Long Long Year that I put out last year with Sierra Hull doing the mandolin and all the harmony vocals and stuff. And so when I went out to do the Opry around that, I asked her if she could come play the song with me. And then I was like, well, this is like, you know, I can't, this is like a good moment here. Like, we got to take it. I, take advantage of this. So I asked her if she could corral some of her bluegrass friends and come up and do a tune, which we did. That kind of Jimmy Martin ish version of Truck Driving Band. And she put together a great lineup of players, and it was just, I mean, wow, what a fun thing, you know. For that's like so out of my wheelhouse, and just, it's just a, like, moments like that that are a real treat, you know, where you're like, man, I don't get to do this too often. And it's like a nice, this warm bed of really great players that I can just kind of strum my acoustic guitar and let them, you know, burn.
Let it do it. Have you noticed, like, I'm not saying anything that hasn't been talked about, especially in circles, but the LA to Nashville exodus in the past few years, that's been fun to watch as a sort of outsider to it, but it seems like so natural at this point. Is it that pipeline?
Yeah, and that's been going on for so long. I feel like it's already probably happened and peaked, and probably, you know, those people are probably now moving somewhere else because, like, Nashville's too built up or something. You know what I mean? I always wonder, like, what kind of impact that's had musically to have all these LA people head out there. I'm sure it must have with all those players. But yeah, you know, Nashville was that place, I think, for a few years ago where you could, you know, still get a better deal on a house and all that, you know, have a yard and have a little space and all that thing. Although I suspect with the way that it's been built up, that's probably come and gone, I'm guessing.
We get the spillover here now. Yeah, we get the spillover in Louisville now is what's happening, which...
Right, yeah.
You know, it's just fun. No complaints there.
I mean, it's wild. I was just talking about that with my manager, Shane, this morning, because I had to drive out to, you know, Foo Fighters Studios out in the valley. I live over on the west side, and I had to drive a piece of gear out there and drop it off. And driving back, it should be like a 20-minute drive. It took me an hour and change or something to get back here, you know what I mean? And I was like, I keep hearing about all these people that are leaving LA, but what? Like, are twice as many people fucking moving here? Because it's more crowded than ever, you know?
Oh, man, we can't handle your spillover. That's too far. That's not going to work.
I know.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Shiflett. So the album, as you're saying, it's going to be out, what, later this year?
Yeah. I think in October. And we've got, Blacktop just came out. And then there's three more tunes coming out. I think we spaced them like 10 weeks apart, something like that. So it sort of takes you through into the fall.
You know, outside of a song like Blacktop, which is its own sort of fictional, I would assume maybe fictional, hoping fictional. But, like, you know, I think I read somewhere, like, it's been one of your most transitional years as writing this record. What does that mean in relation to what you have been writing?
Yeah, it was a trip putting this together. You know, I'm not like one of those writers that sits and just writes all the time, you know, and I always admire people that do. It's just never been, that's never been my sort of discipline with it. I tend to like right now, and for the last little while, I've been in the mode of like getting the record out and, you know, getting the band together and planning the shows and, you know, all that sort of detailed stuff, among other things. And, so when I'm like, I always feel like with writing, I always, you know, I'll come up with little ideas and stuff, and I'll just record it into my phone. And it's almost like it starts to bubble up and ideas are kind of percolating and more, it's almost like they're like, it gets to a point where it's like overflow. And then you like almost like have to just sit and woodshed and put them all together. You know, it'd be probably be a much better writer if I just sat down every day and chipped away at it, you know, but in all honesty, I don't. I just like if other things, I'm constantly, my life is so compartmentalized between Foo Fighters and my family and my solo stuff and, you know, whatever other handful of things I might get into, my podcast and, you know, stuff like that. Much less just like finding the time to get to the gym or maybe go for a surf or whatever. It starts to overflow and you have to just kind of sit and get it out of you, you know?
It's I feel like you'd have to have trust in yourself, that knowing that when that time does come, that, you know, that that there would be, like, Jacob Dylan, that's who I was trying to think of, having him on here. We've talked about it a few times because he doesn't, he rarely writes, and he only starts writing when it's time to make an album. It's like, oh, it's time to make an album? Well, I better come up with 10 songs then. Right. I'm like, wow. I mean, that's having some trust in yourself that there will be some actual material there.
Yeah, I think the real thing is, like, you know, it's really easy to get carried away with how you think you're supposed to do it, you know? And there's a lot of people, I mean, you know, there's like music girl songwriters that I'm friends with and I admire a lot that they can sit there and do like 3 writes in a day, 5 days a week and like get good shit done. I mean, I just imagine their writing muscles must be so fucking strong, you know? But I mean, it's the reality is it's like different strokes for different folks. And like, you know, songwriters who I love, like John Doe, you know, from X, like I asked him about that when I interviewed him and he was just like, yeah, I write when it's time to write. You know, when I feel like writing, I write, you know? And I think that's that for me, that's like a better kind of approach to it. It's like, I don't think it makes any sense for me just to feel some like I have to do this today or whatever. It's just like when the ideas come, they come. And I mean, there definitely is a thing though too, like when the ideas come, you got to chase it down. It's always better to chase it down as it's coming to you. That thing like, oh, I'll get to that later. I have a phone filled with ideas that I thought I was going to get to that I'm never going to get to, that half the time you listen to them, you're like, what was I thinking on that? You know, what is that? And then nothing there. But yeah, for what I do for my life, for my lifestyle, I'm just always juggling, you know, which is great. I mean, I love it. Like, I love that I've got a lot on my plate, you know, and it's a good place to be. I mean, I just feel like I'm just kind of working on music in one way or another kind of all the time. And
that's the dream.
Yeah.
That's the dream. So do you have to, then you plan it as we started I'll bring it full circle. You got to plan, I guess, around Foo Fighters, like, oh, that's happening this year. I'm doing this year, and then vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, it's the tough thing squeezing in, you know, when to do solo stuff here and there, because, you know, like Foo Fighters, a full-time band. That's a life. It's not even a band. It's such a massive part of your life, you know? And it's the priority, you know, of course. Yeah, there's that, and there's always something going on there. And then there's my family, and that's the other, it's like those two things. And then there's sort of all the other stuff I do, just kind of in the margins, you know?
When you gotta create, you gotta create. I understand that. A little obsession we have. I so enjoy listening to what you do. I didn't even bring up the other songs, Born and Raised and Long, Long Year. I mean, you're putting out great work here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I can't wait for you to hear the next one. It's called Dead and Gone, and it should be out in about 9 weeks.
All right. I'll be looking forward to it. And seeing you guys again eventually with the Foos. I did catch a couple, I guess, right before the pandemic. I haven't seen you guys since, you know, before the pandemic and all that. So
I think we're coming out your way this summer, I believe.
I will travel there every time, wherever I need to
be. Awesome.
Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. It's been really cool.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it.
And my thanks, Chris Shiflett, the new single, Blacktop White Lines. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the whole series. Again, new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual spots, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
See, kids, anybody listening out there, you learned some shit on this here show.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.